I'd like to speak to you today, brothers and sisters, about two things. First of all, we're going to look at the scripture that we have before us today that talks about the ascension of Jesus Christ. This past Thursday marked the day that the church and the church tradition remembers the day that Jesus ascended into heaven. And so we have been following in the lectionary, and the lectionary really is a term for lessons based on the Bible and the teaching of the Bible to help us through the year to remember what happened in the times of Jesus in the Old Testament and into the New. It is something that we have been using so that we will be in touch with one another also as a church, as we read the words together, that we practice community with one another. So if you haven't been reading the daily lessons, you can begin today or tomorrow. It's very easy to do. You just take the lessons and open them, and you begin to read them each day. And God will help us then to be connected to him and to one another through this, through the word of God. And we'll see this kind of connection continuing on and building us stronger through the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. So that is one part of the sermon. The next part of the sermon I'd like to share with you is based on the occurrences that happened this past week and some thoughts that God has put on my heart in regards to those. So I'll try my best to, in a timely way, following the Spirit, but in a timely way to be able to approach both of these subjects with you today. We look at this first chapter of Acts, and we've been going through Acts also on Wednesday night, and you're welcome to come and join us as we go through the study on Wednesday night. It starts at 8 o'clock, and we've been going through the book of Acts together to learn about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit and what it means to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, right? And so that is really the bulk of the message in the book of Acts, but it really begins with Jesus Christ. And we read in this chapter here at the beginning that Jesus spent time with his disciples for 40 days, teaching them. After he rose from the dead, he taught them about the kingdom. Right? So he spent time with them. He came back to life after he was dead. God raised him from the grave, and he appeared to many people, and he appeared to the disciples. But there came a time when he departed from them and left them and went to heaven. And that is the meaning of ascension, this in this regard, and ascension Thursday or today as we look at the scripture together. He ascended to heaven to receive glory and honor. And there are many other things that Jesus teaches through this ascension into heaven. Just quickly, and as an overview before we begin, as a review of what we read here, Jesus tells them that they are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. They are going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the end of the earth. And then as they were looking out, looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And then two angels appeared and they said to the men, "Why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up for you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go." Right? And so this is the occurrence of the ascension into heaven. What do you think when you think about heaven? I think that it's really important for us to get more into this subject. I know in the adult Sunday school, they had a study on on heaven. It was a book that was presented. I actually have the same book, and it's written for children. And so that book would be a great book to use for our children ministry as well, to go through this concept of heaven, because we really don't want to have this kind of vague idea that some people have. In fact, you know, it's astounding to me. I was at a funeral recently, and the person who was speaking at the funeral said, "We don't really know much about heaven." And I was thinking, why would you say something like that to people in a church? You know, I'm sorry to say that, you know, about someone who is a man of God, but, and I understand that there are, where he was coming from, but I don't agree with that. And that's the last thing that we want to think as Christians, that we really don't know much about heaven. Well, the Bible is filled with things about heaven, right? And if we think that it's vague and things like that, then we haven't read our Bibles. And so we really need to pay attention And not listen when people say things like that. Okay. So what we want to do is have an understanding of that. You'll remember we just went through the book of Ephesians, and I've been saying over and over again that Paul had a heavenly mindset here on earth. Right. So that's what we want to continue. We want to continue in that way. We are not just earthly beings here. We are connected to heaven. We are connected to heaven and God in heaven and Jesus now in heaven, the Holy Spirit sent from God the Father through the pleading of Jesus, through his example to come and to bless us with the Holy Spirit. But I want to just talk about some of the things that happen, what the ascension really means for us. First of all, the ascension was the event that Jesus was taken bodily into heaven. It was not a spirit or things like that. It was a body taken into heaven. And so they saw his body taken into heaven. 40 days after his resurrection, he rose on the clouds into heaven. And Luke talks about this in his book called Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and also in Acts here in these verses 6-7 of chapter 1. Jesus' work of ascension accomplished many things that he could not do while he was still on earth. And in John 16:7, he said that he could not send the Holy Spirit to empower the church for ministry unless he first ascended into heaven. And so Jesus, by ascending into heaven, opened the gate for the Holy Spirit to come down from heaven. You remember that Jesus taught that it's even better for you that I'm not here, because the disciples were mourning this idea that Jesus would be leaving them. I was listening yesterday to a beautiful piece written by Johann Sebastian Bach. He wrote many cantatas, many choir pieces that were written for different occasions, and he wrote one for the Ascension Sunday. And in that, there was a beautiful, beautiful aria sung by a woman who was talking about and singing about how she was going to miss seeing Jesus with her. Right. It's a really amazing thing. You know, it's people take this scripture and they use it and glorify God that way. But it really spoke to me to think, yes, that the people that were there at that moment were thinking, Jesus, I'm going to miss seeing your face. I miss being with you. You know, don't leave us. That kind of an idea. But Jesus would have stayed if it were not for the fact that it was necessary for him to be going to heaven and to send the Holy Spirit. So sending the Holy Spirit to us was really important for us as a church for ministry, right? So that we would become involved, right? You know, I was yesterday, we called up, the church has been having some issues with the AC. Our AC went out at home in Edison. Okay, so it broke. So I called up a friend and said, could you recommend somebody? This guy came to our house and took a look at the air conditioner. And he did some tests and he walked me through the process and he said, okay, so I'm taking a test now and it seems that power is coming into the machine here. It's reaching from, so it's not a power issue, right? It's the power is reaching your unit outdoor, the compressor, right? And so there's a little mechanism in the middle. I forget what the name of it is, but if you know what it is, you can shout out. Anyway, the power comes there and then it is transformed and brought into the machine that is in my backyard. So on there is this one piece that is receiving the power. And then in turn, it switches that over and puts it into the compressor so the cold air can come out, right? We have the power coming into us, but are we translating that into what God expects us to do with it? Right? What is it that is keeping us from cooling, right? Like an air conditioner for turning on? That's a good question for us to ponder. We're receiving the power. The power is there. The power is the Holy Spirit has been given to us. Are we using that power in the world in obedience to God and being his witnesses? I think we ought to do that. Right? What's keeping you from doing it? Right? Think about that. Pray about that. What is keeping you from obeying God and taking that power that you've been given through your baptism, through the Holy Spirit, so that you can be that generation of his power into this world? That is the reason that Jesus ascended into heaven, so that we would be given that. He gave us that work to do in the world here. But many times we have too many other things to do. But brothers and sisters, sometimes it just comes down to disobedience. I have been praying for awakening for our church. Will you join me in awakening, for praying for awakening in our church? The people, I don't think the people are bad. I don't think the people are bad. I think that they're sleepy. This whole pandemic has caused us to fall asleep. Time to wake up. I'm not going to shout today. I'm just going to say it to you. Okay. It's time for us to wake up. The power is coming into the compressor. Is it being used in obedience to God? What is that going to look like? Man, that is amazing. When God gets behind it and he provides all the power for things to happen in the world, we know that it's going to result in something great. So that's what I'm praying for. Awakening out of the sleep so that we can say, we are full in. We are connected. We are going to take that power and go, boom, this is what we're going to do in the world. And the world is waiting, right? So there's another aspect of what Jesus does through the ascension into heaven, right? What happens there? It happened. He actually had to ascend into heaven in order to complete the work of atonement that he began on the cross. We think that everything is in the cross. The cross is important. It's important, man. It is so important because he died there for you and me, right? Putting an end to death and evil will have its final day, right? There will be an end to it all, and Satan will have his final day. He put an end to our sins. He took those upon himself on the cross, but he ascended into heaven in order to complete the work of atonement. And we really get a good glimpse of this and a good understanding of this in the book of Hebrews. The author argues this point in chapters 8 and 9, right? In summary, he said that the earthly temple was a copy of the temple in heaven. And he compared Christ's atonement to the work that earthly high priests perform on the annual day of atonement when they would take the blood of the sacrifice into the most high place and sprinkle it on the altar, thereby obtaining forgiveness for the people's sins. In the same way, Jesus entered the most holy place of the true temple in heaven, sprinkled his own blood on the altar, and this completed the ceremony of the sacrifice that he began on the cross. Listen to the way that Hebrews 9:11-12 describes Christ's atoning work. When Christ came as high priest, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not part of this creation. He entered into the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. That's Hebrews 9:11-12. Right. And so this atonement that he has started and began on the cross is now finished and attained in heaven. So heaven, do you see? Heaven is not just some place that he went to and will come back from. He accomplished something there. And his glory is there. Can you imagine him leaving there and all of the glory and the angels looking down and seeing the Son of God going down into this evil world and the things that occurred to him? And then seeing him die, but come back to life and return to them, that must have been some celebration. He's back. He's here. Amen. He has fulfilled his duty. He has obeyed the Father. He is back. Let us glorify him forever. Amen. Right. And you and I have a mission as well. The ascension fulfilled his duty. The mission to earth to accomplish the forgiveness of sins was fulfilled. He returned there in glory, and God is asking the same thing of us. You are on a mission. You're not just a missionary. You are on a mission as a Christian who believes in Jesus Christ. Fulfill it. That's what God says to us. Fulfill it. Stop making excuses. Look around you. Wake up to what's going on. What are people doing to one another? Don't get caught up in all of the lies. I stand for truth. Your life is an example of what I can do. You are a beautiful creation of mine, and I have given you a mission. You have been given the Holy Spirit. My son came to earth, died for you, went to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit. Now do something. Do it. Right? One of the biggest fears that I would have as a parent for my child graduating from high school or going into college or anything like that is that they don't do anything with their life. That was the fear that explained my life. I went to school. I went to three schools. Right? I went to three schools. I went to school and I did things. Forgot about my parents. Because I wanted to do something for myself. Right? Take the money. Do what you want. Right? And then after that, I started to wander around because I wasn't satisfied. I realized something was wrong. And God was talking to me. If you came to the outreach concert the other day, you would have heard what I said about my life. I was wandering. I was lost, but God found me and he brought me back to the kingdom. And I started to, it wasn't perfect. It took me a long time after that, but basically what I was doing is I was sitting at a desk in an IBM office and asking myself, what am I doing here? I need to be doing something for God. And it was a great job, and God helped me with that job. But he was talking to me and saying to me, you're on a mission because I have saved your life through my son, Jesus Christ, and given you the Holy Spirit. Now do something. And it bothered me. I couldn't like just stay the same. Okay. So that's one aspect of it. The atonement was achieved, completed there in heaven. When Jesus came and he is the high priest in heaven. So what does he do there now? He is interceding for us in heaven. Amen. He's interceding for us, standing for someone. That little girl was interceding for her friends. Was she not in the cartoon? Praying for, dear God, I'm worried for Sophia. We need to be praying for people like Sophia in our lives. I'm worried for that person. I'm worried for this thing happening. I'm worried for these people. That's called doing something. It means being involved in a mission. Right? And
that is the main point of being alive. Help somebody who needs help. You've been taught what the truth is. You've been given what the truth is. You've been going through things yourself. Now, take your time and find someone who fits in the scenario of the things that you have gone through in your life and help them. Pay forward. Give it to someone else. Look
for someone that you can relate to and that God puts on your heart to do those kind of things. He intercedes for us. Are you interceding for someone? Begin to intercede for someone. Think about it just for a second. Close your eyes and think about who it is that you can intercede for. This was written in, we used this for the teaching for the baptism class this year. I really like this material we've been using. In fact, a lot of what I've just read has come from that. And I'd like for all of you to engage with it, even if you haven't been baptized, or if you have been baptized. Because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood, and therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. He always lives to to intercede for them. We need to take that and use that in our lives. We always live to intercede for someone. Be an intercessor. As we see here, it says Jesus' ascension into heaven was a critical aspect of his redemptive work. Without it, we could not be saved. Having spoken of Christ's resurrection and ascension, we go then into his enthronement in heaven at the right hand of God. Does that sound familiar? He sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We said that in the Apostles' Creed today. Right? So this creed is connected with our faith. Okay? Let me read you a few, just a couple of points about this enthronement. N.T. Wright wrote a really good book called Simply Jesus. If you have a chance to read it, I would highly recommend it. If Easter is about Jesus as the prototype of new creation, his ascension is about his enthronement as the one who is now in charge. Easter tells us that Jesus is himself the first part of new creation. His ascension tells us that now he is running it. He is running it, the new creation. Philippians 2:9-11 says this, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Joni Erickson was quoted by Tim Keller in one of his books. If you don't know her story, she became paralyzed. Yeah, completely paralyzed from the neck down when she dove into a lake and she struck her head on a rock. And she's serving God in a big way in the world, but she talked about this one day where people were gathered around her and they were all bowing on their knees and praying to God. And she was sitting there and she couldn't do it, right? Because she was in a wheelchair. She couldn't move. She couldn't do that. And she started crying and the people thought, oh, she must be crying, you know, because she feels bad that these people are able to do that kind of thing. And she said, I'm not crying because of that. I'm crying because it's so beautiful to see people bowing down to praise God. And I can't wait to get to heaven because I am going to be healed and I'm going to be whole and I'm going to be able to get down on my knees and I'm going to be able to praise God from there. That's amazing. That is amazing. It's a desire to have your fullness of body so that you can praise God on your knees. To join with others that are doing it and to appreciate it. That's the meaning that God wants us to understand today of the depth of our attention to what he's saying to us through this. He goes on to say, N.T. Wright says a few things here, and I don't want to take a lot of time, but I just want to mention them because I really like it. He said there's four things to remember about the ascension. First of all, heaven and earth are not a long way apart. Okay, just because Jesus went up in the clouds doesn't mean that we are distant from him or from heaven. He called Jesus someone who had identity like a one-man walking temple. He was a one-man walking temple. He was here, he was a temple here on earth, and he's a temple now in heaven. He is everywhere, and even when he was here on earth, he was a walking temple. Jesus is like somebody who has two homes. The homes are next to one another and there's a connecting door. And one day the partition wall will be knocked down and there will be one glorious heaven and earth mixture. Right? He goes on to say, heaven is the place from which the world is run. It's the CEO's office. Jesus is the CEO. It is his office. He spoke of how important this one verse is, and it really opened my eyes to this. You kind of have to go with him here because Matthew 16:28 says, assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And usually we think about those people seeing Jesus return from heaven and his second coming, but N.T. Wright feels that there is an element here of Christ going into heaven, that he's coming into his kingdom there. And so he is a king in heaven. He is king now. He was king on earth. He is always king. Right. Daniel 7 is a big part of his teaching on the ascension. And I want to read a couple of verses from there just so that you get an idea of what happens with this enthronement, the ascension of Christ, and why it is such a beautiful and wonderful thing. In verse 13 of Daniel 7, it says this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. That is Jesus, the ascended Jesus. It's right here in your Bible. Turn to chapter 7 of Daniel and read that today. Right? He is at the right hand of God the Father. He was received into heaven, and he's adored there. Amen? The last part he talks about is that Jesus reversed things in the world. He has this concept, Paul. N.T. Wright writes that he believes that Paul used the times that he was living in with Caesar as the king to reflect in his position on Jesus Christ to teach people that he was greater than any earthly king like Caesar. And he makes a very good point of it, because all through the book of Acts, it begins this way, where he's exalted that way. And then in the end, he is going to appear before Caesar, but he was going to tell people that he served the true king. And don't think he wasn't going to do it. He went there with a purpose. Yes, maybe to defend himself that he was a Christian, and as a Roman citizen, he had rights. But his purpose was to say, you are not greater than the true king, Caesar. And we need to say that to our leaders today. There's only one king. And it could cost us our lives, but it doesn't matter, because it is the truth. So the whole book of Acts is the story of how Jesus, exercising his power as the CEO of earth as of heaven, sends out his followers as ambassadors to make his kingdom a reality, climaxing with the strange paradox of Paul in chains, announcing that the Roman world has a new emperor. It's that paradox, indeed, that sets the tone for all kingdom work in the present time. We have a new emperor, and his name is Jesus Christ. You need to believe that. And what did the disciples do when Jesus ascended? And he ascended in power before them. The men came and told them what they were to do. They rejoiced. They worshiped God. And they waited for the Holy Spirit. And when it came, they went out to tell the world. They heard the word of God. They were affected by it. And they went out and told the world. And so, brothers and sisters, when we think of the ascension, we really don't want to just think of Jesus going up in a cloud. It's not what it really was at all. It was much more than that. You have to know the whole life of Jesus to understand the ascension. And that's why it's good for you to be attentive, children, to the stories that you hear told to you from the Bible when you go to Sunday school. Because it's the most important thing that you could ever do for yourself in your life. It's more important than anything that you do in your school, in this society. It's more important than anything that you're involved with any kind of a club or a sports or a music or anything like that. He is the king. And he gave you your life. And it came at a cost. It cost him his life because he loves you so much. And so it is the least that we do to give our lives to Christ. Don't let anyone tell you anything else. And so I'd like to now, just for a few minutes, take a look at what happened this past week, because it is important for us to talk about this. I've been asked tomorrow morning by Peter Fenske to go and to give a prayer in town for Memorial Day. And if you're free and you want to join, it'll be at 9 o'clock on Euclid Avenue here in town. Peter will also be saying a few words. But it has kind of helped me in a way to be able to think about what we can pray for, because it certainly isn't just Memorial Day. There are many other things on people's minds today in this world. But what I would like to do is I would like to pay tribute to the lives of the children that were lost this past week. I'd like to say, first and foremost, that they did not die in vain. That the beautiful lives that were lost this past week at the hands of someone who was very confused and angry will never be forgotten. They were all dear and they were beautiful, and it was a tremendous tragedy, but they did not die in vain. It's important for us, as painful as it is, not to go away from this subject. It's important for us, as hard as it is to take in, it is important for us not to avoid this subject and what's going on. It's important for us to thank God for those children. It's important for us to look at their pictures and to read the stories of their lives, to listen to what it was that they were about and what they did. One little girl was remembered for writing notes and hiding them around the house so that her family members would find them and read them. Read through their stories, then we are called to examine and to recall our own lives and the lives of the people in our lives. We are called to appreciate the life that we now have and the life of those who are given to us in our lives. And so it's important that we pray for strength from God to be able to do that, to remember them, and to also learn from this occurrence and what happened. It's important for us to know that God is in control, as we heard today in the ascension of Jesus Christ. There are many things that we may not understand, but the thing that we must hold on to most is our faith in God as being the King. And the thoughts that we have are not his thoughts. There was a very touching writing in a Facebook comment from Pastor Don McCracken, who works with the homeless in Hackensack. And he was helping to guide someone who was angry at God for what happened. The words basically were saying, he was saying to that person, was that we must respect God and uphold his truth and love for us, because God cries along with those families as well. It is not an easy subject for us today to deal with, but it is something that we must deal with. It's very easy for us to criticize. It's very easy for us to criticize people that live in Texas, the handling of how the whole situation unfolded and people that were involved. It's very easy for us to criticize in general, because we are people who criticize. But God calls us to look within ourselves first. He calls us to gather in his power and his love and in his mercy and grace, and to examine ourselves in that respect. To see ourselves as a child of God and what God is calling us to in these times. I can tell you truthfully that the worst thing that we could possibly do is to remain angry and to slash out and to attack and to criticize. What is important is that we act like this little girl in the cartoon today, which is to go to Almighty God and pray as intercessors for people in this world, that God's love will come into their lives, that they will know Jesus Christ as Savior, that their sins would be forgiven. I hope to be able to speak on the question of why does evil exist? Why does God allow evil? These kind of questions are very good for us to address. But I just want to say, brothers and sisters, that if we look at our own lives and we look at ourselves in relationship to God and what the Bible teaches us, it becomes clear that people do not want to mention the word sin. We would much rather blame evil. We would much rather blame someone else or some other reason for the things that are occurring. But our Bibles teach us that we have disobeyed God and we have sinned. And as difficult as it is for us to think that way or to tell someone that, that is what the gospel is about. That Jesus Christ died, taking on the sin of the world so that we might live. And so let us learn our Bibles well and show compassion and mercy and ask God how we might be able to help those around us who are suffering, to show his love and to bring hope into their lives. And thank you for accepting my broken words this morning on this subject, but we need to continue to talk about it, and it's good for us to talk about it. Let's pray.